Let's give the Lord a hand clap.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're in our series. It's called Locking and Unlocking the Tongue. There are times when we need to talk, and then there are times when we need to shut up. We need to not talk. It's interesting to me that the very first sin that the Bible records concerned talking. It concerned the woman speaking to the serpent. And the Bible says, and the woman said unto the serpent. How many believe that it might have been better for Eve had she locked her tongue at that moment, right? Adam would have come out better. Cain, Abel would have come out better. Generations to come would have come out better. But by her not locking the tongue at the appropriate time, what happens is it cost them everything. Their lives were unraveled and undone. How many believe, though, it's the same way for us today, that a lot of times our lives, our families, we go a whole lot better for ourselves, for our spouses, for our children, and for our grandchildren and great-grandchildren and generations to come if we learned how to properly lock and unlock our tongues, do it at the correct time. But instead what we do is we do what we always do. We never really change, it seems, and we continue to speak unclean things. Isaiah was talking about this in the book of Isaiah in chapter 6 and verse 5. And here's where Isaiah says this. He says, "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone." Now, the New Living Translation says it this way. "Then I said, my destruction is sealed." Woe is me, or my destruction is sealed, because, and this is what I want us to see, because I am a man or a woman of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people with unclean lips. We understand the part, and what I want to do is two parts today. I want to make sure that we get ourselves understanding that what we say make our lives undone. It unravels our lives. But also, we mess around with people that are undone and say undone and unclean things. And Isaiah said, you got to understand it. It's not just me, but it's also the people that are around. And if you know your history of your Bible, destruction did come upon Jerusalem. All those people were taken into captivity. You see, your tongue will take you into captivity if we don't learn when to lock it and unlock it. And so this is what I'm wanting us to see today. You know, we need to learn to be able to say to somebody, you need to lock your tongue. Now, you can say it different ways, but that's really what you need to say. You know, Jesus had to do that. Jesus would rebuke people for saying things that they shouldn't say. One day he cast a devil out of a man, and the Pharisees were observing this, and the Pharisees said to him, you know, you're doing that by the power of Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. You know, and Jesus went off and rebuked them, and he gave them one of the sternest rebukes in all of scriptures because these people talked. They said things with their mouth, with their tongues. And we need to learn to do this, just like Jesus did. Anyway, here's what he said in the book of Matthew, chapter 12, verses 34 through 35. It says, "O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things?" Now get this, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Now I need you to repeat that to me a couple of times. Say that back to me. "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Would you say it one more time? "Out of the abundance of the heart." Now what I want you to do is make it personal. "Out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth speaks." Would you say that back to me? "Out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth speaks." Now this is what I really want us to see. Now look what else he does here. Now this was interesting to me as I studied this passage. What was interesting about it is that he now calls treasures. We put into our hearts these treasures of unclean things. Look what he says. Look what he says. He says, "A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." It's interesting, isn't it, that Jesus says we take evil things, evil words, and we treasure them. We put them inside of our hearts, and they become a treasure to us. Mean things, evil things. Have you ever heard somebody say something like this? "Well, I just had to get it off my chest." What are they saying? "I enjoyed blowing that person away with my tongue. I just reached right down into the poisons in my heart, and I flipped that stuff out, and I just sliced this person up with my tongue, and it felt good. It was a treasure to me." I don't know nobody here who's like ever done that, but you know, you probably know people that have. You see, it's evil, and you're a viper when you do that. You've inflicted poison into people, very literally. I'm going to show you today. So what we want to get today is this. You see, Jesus said it's from the abundant of the heart the mouth speaks. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? What it means is that your tongue reveals who you really are, your true identity. Your tongue is the hinge of your personality. I can talk to you just for just a few minutes, and I can know within a short period of time, because I understand temperaments and personality traits, I can know what drives you, what discourages you. I can know your hopes, your dreams, your motivations. I can know so much about you simply by your tongue. Your tongue reveals the state in which you really live. I was 6 years old when my family moved from Miami, Florida to Griffin, Georgia, right in the middle of Georgia. And we lived there for years, and I would go down and I'd visit my relatives in Florida, but I dwelled among people that had a southern drawl. And so, therefore, I would go down to Florida, to Miami, and I would be down there with my relatives. And one summer, I went and spent the whole summer with them. And my cousins, I remember my cousins laughing at me because I no longer spoke as a Floridian. Even though I was in Miami, I spoke like a Georgia cracker. I had a southern drawl. You know what I'm talking about. And though I was in Miami, I spoke differently. How many remember the story about Peter denying Jesus? They had arrested Jesus, and they were sitting around a campfire, and Peter was there, and they kept asking Peter, "I know you're one of his disciples," and Peter kept denying it. No, I'm not. And he cursed, and he used profanities, and then they listened to Peter for a while, and let me read you the scripture, because I think it's so good. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 73, it says this, "And after a while," you see, you get around people for a while, they listen to you talk. "After they were a while, came unto him, and they that stood by, and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech," what? "Bewrayeth," or betrayeth, "thee." Your speech gives you away, Peter. See, Jesus was from the area of Galilee. Jesus would have spoken with a Galilean accent. And he selected his disciples from the region of Galilee. And they also spoke with a Galilean drawl. And so when Peter spoke, his mouth bewrayeth him. It gave him away. I was in Miami, Florida, but I lived in Georgia. My speech gave me away. You're here, but you don't live here. Same way with your words gives your heart away. Your words tell the state in which your heart lives. By your words, I can tell, anyone can, whether your heart lives in the state of tranquility or anger. I can tell by your words whether your heart lives in the state of peace or turmoil. I can tell by your words whether your heart lives in the state of faith or fear, or love or hate. Simply by your words. One thing for certain, your tongue, your words, will bewrayeth thee. They will betray you. It is obvious, Jesus says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Who we really are is eventually made manifest by the words that we speak. I have for us some hot dogs today. We're going to have some hot dogs. Not really. Just an illustration. I have a salt shaker, pepper shaker, a catsup container, and a mustard container. Now, if I shake this salt shaker, what's going to happen? That's really what's happening. Right? You see that? And if I shake the pepper shaker, what happens? Pepper. Very good. And if I squirt catsup, now why is this happening? Because that's what's in there, right? Good. And then if I squirt mustard, I'm sure you're getting the idea by now. Mustard comes out. It says mustard. You see that says mustard? I say I'm a Christian. I say I love my wife. I say I love my children. Children say they love their parents. But you see, when we get shook or squeezed, what's really in there bewrayeth us. It's coming out. I was not going to take the time that's in my notes, but I remember we first came to town. I'm looking at Willis back there. First came to town, that's when the Lord gave me this illustration. We were up there, we were putting up upholstery, but the church was growing and we needed to fix our building up. So we were padding, literally padding the pews that day. And we were up there, and he had an upholstery gun, and it was a staple gun. About every tenth staple, that thing would jam. And Willis, his speech bewrayeth him as to how frustrated that was making him. Now, in his defense, he got squeezed. It all got out of him by the end of the day, and he got much better. But the next Sunday, I used this particular illustration to show us that when we're shook or when we're squeezed, what's really in there is coming out. It did with Peter. It will with you, and it will with me. So you think back of some times when you got squeezed and your real personality came out. It might said, Christian. But what did you inject into that person? Well, see, that's how it works. And this is what I'm wanting to see today. How many wishes that we could just fix our words and just turn a switch or have the preacher pray for us and cast that devil of bad talk out of us or whatever and it all be fixed? How many wish that would just happen that way? Yeah, wouldn't it be great? But Jesus says that's not your trouble. Your problem is not your vocabulary. Your problem is your heart, because out of the abundance of the heart. So how do we fix it? Well, I'm going to talk to you about that at the end of the lesson. But right now, I really want to show you something that's really, really interesting. And have you ever thought about what really happens to you physically when a word is spoken and goes into your body? I want to show you this. Put this up for me, please. It's on the back, on the side screens. Okay. I don't know if you can see me or not. Doesn't matter. But anyway, when a word is spoken to us, what it goes into the outer ear canal. And then it goes over into the eardrum, which is called the tympanic membrane. And then it goes into what we call the hammer and the anvil and the stirrup, which is the osselies, the auditory osselies. And then what happens is this vibration begins to create a neuron energy. And this neuron energy then shoots into this circular canal here. And this is like a coil in an automobile where that energy from the battery or the engine turning over brings a part of energy into that thing, electricity, and it goes through that coil and it goes around there real fast and it shoots out of there. Well, it's kind of the same way. That's what happens in that canal, and then it goes out the auditory nerve, and then it fires like a spark plug going off. It fires into the cortex of your brain. Now, that's all good and well, but what I want you to see is this. When that happens to us, something physiological takes place. What happens is that releases now hormones and chemicals into your body. Your brain releases hormones and chemicals. How many's ever got an adrenaline rush? I mean, you know, maybe you were about to get in a fight with somebody, or you just all of a sudden your heart starts beating fast, or you know, you just really get this. Well, see, that's what's happened. That happens to you, and it has tremendous effects on us all. It'll tell you to run or to fight. It'll tell you to laugh or to cry. It affects your whole body. It affects your emotions. It tells you to listen or to talk. All this happens to you. Your blood pressure will go up. Your face will turn red. You'll cry. Why? Because this taking place, this word that was released into your auditory thing and shot into the cortex of your brain is now releasing these chemicals into your body. Not long ago, I was holding Michael Lance. We were at the house, and I was holding him on my lap as I always did, and I was setting him, and he wasn't even crawling yet, and he was sitting there, and I was talking to him like, as I always do, and just bouncing him on my legs. Well, I don't know what happened this particular time. I wasn't talking loudly or anything. We were just talking, but all of a sudden, I looked at him, and his little lower lip, looking at me, his little lower lip was poked out, and it was quivering. He was puffing up, and he started crying uncontrollably. I mean, I held him. I said, baby, I'm sorry. I don't know what I did. I don't know what I said, but I'm so sorry. I couldn't quieten him down. I gave him to his mama. His mama couldn't quieten him down, and I hadn't done anything. We were all sitting there. It was all fascinating to us. It took a long time to get him quietened down, and even after he quietened down and stopped crying, he was still snubbing. You know what I'm talking about? For a long period of time. Now, what was happening here is that had happened to him, what I just explained to you. These chemicals had released into his body for whatever reason, and they were releasing into him, and it took a period of time to get him quietened and back into a tranquil position. Now, what happens with you and me when this happens to us? It takes time. It'll take a couple of hours sometimes for you to calm down. When a word is said to you, it causes you to remember what that word meant to you last time, and whatever your body did to you last time, it's going to do to you again, because that's now what that word means, and that's what that word releases into your body, and it's shooting into your body and causing you to do all kinds of things. I know nobody here ever probably did it, but how many have ever heard of somebody walking around the house and yelling and screaming at everybody, you know, yelling at the wife, yelling at the kids, kicking the cat, you know, whatever's happening, you know, throwing things and hitting walls, and, you know, and just yelling and screaming. I know. Let me ask you, how many has ever seen or experienced perhaps something like that? Yeah, I knew. I know you're looking at me funny, but I knew you'd have it happen to you too. But see, that's what I'm trying to see. What happened is you were trying to calm down. They were even saying, calm down, calm down, calm down. And you couldn't calm down, right? You couldn't calm down. Do you know why? All this stuff's happening in your body. Your blood pressure's up. Your heart's racing. All these crazy things are happening. Why? Because a word was fired into your brain. Now, it's interesting how this works. Because as we see it, let me show you a quote here, because this happens in a moment. I was thinking I'd forget this quote. But anyway, here's a quote that I found about the brain. It says, crucial to survival, this instinctual reaction to noise enables us to go from a deep sleep to a quick sprint in a matter of seconds. In a moment, this happens to you. It took me a long time to explain it, but it happens that fast to you, and you can't stop it. What happens is it goes in there. Now, it's in there. Now, what do you do? This helps me understand what James talked about here now in James chapter 3 and verse 6. This is so interesting with this realization of the human body, what James wrote in James chapter 3 verse 6. It says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among what? Among our members, among our body. That it defileth the whole body. Say defileth. Defileth. I'm going to come back to that. And I want you to remember. It defileth the whole body. Your whole body is affected when a word goes in there. Defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. Your whole nature, your body, your soul, your spirit, your emotions, your intellect, everything, your speech, your heart rate, everything about you is affected because of one word. It goes in there and is set on fire of hell. Everything about us is affected. And if you live in an environment like this, where there's always eggshells, there's always this walking on eggshells, you know, and living on edge, then you're in a constant state of agitation. I came home the other day. I'm not going to get into the details of it, but I came home the other day, and I was upset. I had ordered a part, and it didn't come in, and I was upset, and I was wanting to work on my boat, and it wasn't anything to do with anybody here, okay? I just want to make sure you understand that. I was upset because a part didn't come in that I really wanted. And I was fussing about it. And I wasn't fussing at Judy. But I was fussing and I was aggravated. And she got sick. And then she read the lesson and she told me, she says, you know what, Delbert? She says, I was reading that lesson. And she says, you know what? You keep me on eggshells sometimes. You know, when you go off, I don't never really know what you're going to get mad or what you're going to say. You know? But I'm trying to use me as an illustration to let us know what our words do to other people. I showed you that word distress. It's very interesting because I want you to see what this word distress means, or defileth, I mean. Let me back up just a second before I go there, because I want to ask you the question now with that part said there. How many of you experienced what I talked about a while ago when somebody said something to you, it just messed you up? Okay. Now, here's the question, because Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips. How many people have you done that to? To whom have you done that same thing with your words? Maybe it was that wife that you made vows to love and to honor, to cherish, to protect. Maybe it was your husband who works hard to take care of you. But yet you injected that poison into him with your words. Maybe it was those children that God gave you to love and take care of. Or maybe it was those wonderful parents that God gave you. Maybe it was an employee or an employer or a friend who was just trying to help you. Maybe it was a wonderful pastor that God gave you, or a fantastic supportive church member. Maybe it was somebody that cut you off in traffic. You see, because it's not only what you do to them, it's what you're doing to yourself. How many has ever experienced maybe a little road rage? You know, you just got, you see? Yeah. And you know how that felt. And you were shaking your fist and you were making signs. Maybe it was somebody that was driving in the left lane a little slower than was convenient for you. See, all of this stuff, you know, that's what I'm trying. We've got to learn, folks. We're killing ourselves. We're killing others. We're killing people that we love. And it doesn't have to be somebody that you dislike. It can be anyone. It can be somebody that you're supposed to love. Now, this word that is defiled, I want to show you in the Greek. It's the word spilo. And what it means is to stain or to soil. Stain or soil. Years ago, an individual cussed me out. I mean, he did a very good job of it, too. Not just once or twice, he did it three times. And you said, well, how did that happen three times? It's a long story. I'm not going to get into all that. But three times. And what he did to me, I mean, he reached down into the treasures, his evil treasures, the most poisonous things that he could possibly say. He dredged up words, the most profanic words that you've ever heard, and he released them on me. I mean, it was, he dredged them up. He did everything he could to explain how he felt about me. And it did something to me. It stained me. It soiled me. It soiled something inside of me. And I couldn't wash it. I couldn't clean it. I would close my eyes and I would hear those words. I would breathe and I would hear those words. I would, if I got still, I heard those words. And every time I heard those words, again, that stuff went into my body. I didn't realize it then, but that's what was happening to me. And it hurt. It made me just as feeling as filthy. It made me just as angry the 100th time I heard those words as the first time I heard those words. You see, and I told you earlier, it takes sometimes a couple of hours to get this cleaned out of you. You see, your system begins to go to work and tries to filter it out as quickly as it's injected in. I would have been happy to have settled for a couple of hours with this situation, but this lasted for months. I got sick. I would take a nap. My wife would tell me, during this time, I would take a nap in my recliner, and she said my hand would start tremoring. I lost my motivation. I nearly quit the ministry. Words are powerful. And when you understand what they do to you and what your words do to others, I'm hoping it makes us get a hold of our tongue and get a lock and learn to lock it and unlock it. I was defiled. Words defile us. It was interesting to me as I studied this that in the Psalms, when David would talk about asking God to heal his body, heal his physical body, he would talk about it. And what he would really end up talking about, and as he asked God to heal him and explain all the sicknesses that he was experiencing, that he was always talking, or usually always talking, about people talking about him. Let me show you a couple of these. There's many. I just want to pull out two. In Psalms 22, verses 13 through 15, it says, "They gapped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water." David's saying, "I am weak like water. My bones are out of joint. My bones ache. I hurt so much. My heart is like wax. I'm having heart problems. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. I'm having diarrhea. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death." I feel like I'm going to die. Why? Because somebody like a lion was trying to eat him up with words. Let me show you one more. Psalms 38, verses 7 through 12. "For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease." In other words, he has sores all over his body. "And there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. And my groanings," his body is so aching and so sore and so hurting that he's groaning, is not hidden from thee. "My heart panteth," his heart is racing. my strength faileth me. For as for the light of mine eyes, it also is gone from me. David's having vision problems. He's losing his eyesight. And they that seek my hurt speak malicious things. See, when we say things to people, or we get around people that say things, it does something to us. It physically bothers you. It physically bothers them when you say it. So Isaiah says, I am a man of unclean lips and I live amongst a people with unclean lips. We've got to be cautious to whom we're around. But also, folks, we got to be careful of what we say. You're saying stuff to people you love. And it's injecting into them venom. It's injecting into them poison. Jesus said this. Let's read this passage again in Matthew 12, 34 through 35. It says, O generation of vipers. We don't mind calling the Pharisees a viper. But if you'll take what I'm telling you today, you'll see that you've been a viper too. O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Oh my goodness. I've been a viper. How many of us have been vipers at one point in time? There you go. I want to fix it, don't you? So I was asking the Lord, Lord, help us now. I've got us to this point. We're seeing this. I'm sure that this is real to us. How do we now fix the problem? You see, the vocabulary is not the problem. Your anger really is not the problem. You're getting upset. That's not the problem. The person that cuts you off is not the problem. What the problem is the heart. We got to fix the heart. So how do we do that? How do we fix the heart? I know preachers tell us all the time, we got to fix our heart, but they never tell us how. So I want to spend the next few minutes that we have together just talking about how to fix the heart. In Psalms 51 in verse 10, David says this, create in me what? Okay, read from the version that I'm... Now, clean heart is King James Version, but I like this because this really makes it clear. NIV says, create in me what? A pure heart and renew a right spirit use the right version. I used King. Renew in me what? A steadfast spirit in me. Now, notice that your spirit is connected to your heart. If your heart's not right, your spirit's not right. If your heart's wrong, your spirit's wrong. David, the man after God's own heart, said, I got some heart problems. I need my heart purified. I need my heart cleaned. So it's interesting to me that this takes place. Let me show you this word create in the Hebrew. The Hebrew word here is bara, and what it means is to create. It means to qualify, to cut down a wood. Now, the analogy that he wants you to see here is like woodworking. A wood select to feed as formative processes. Now, is that singular or plural? Formative processes, right? Would you say that back to me? Formative processes. Formative processes. In other words, there's not one thing that you're going to do that's going to fix your heart. There's processes that's going to be required if you're going to fix your heart. So what I want to talk to you about is about that. This was years and years ago. We were still living in Griffin. I wanted to create for my wife a king-size bed. And I had it in my head that I could build one. And so I did. I went out into our woods. We owned some property, and I went out into our woods, and I found this beautiful straight poplar tree, and I cut it down, and then I measured off 6-7 foot lengths, and I whacked it with a chainsaw, and I loaded those big things up on the back of the truck, and I hauled it to my house, and I got it there, and I skinned the bark off of the logs, and I put them in a dry place so that they would dry good, and I was doing exactly that. I selected, I cut down, I measured, and I was doing this creating thing. When they had finally dried, which took months, I took those logs to a lathe. I had a lathe at work, and so I took them to a lathe, and I hooked them up in there, and I took the sharp lathe tool, and I began to lathe that down, drawing and measuring and using calipers, and I made these beautiful designed bedposts. And I made four of them. They were exact. They looked really nice. And then I took sandpaper on that lathe, and I sanded those things down. And after I got them nice and pretty and smooth, I put some stain on there. And then I put shellac on them and made them very, very pretty. And then I had to make the headboard and the footboard and the side rails. And I made this bed. And it was processes. You see what I'm saying? When God changes our heart, created me a clean heart. He created me the processes that will change my heart. And it was beautiful. It took time. It took a lot of time to do this, maybe a year or so, to actually make that bed and go through all the processes. So your heart's going to change, but it's going to change over a period of time. But what will you do? So I need to ask you some questions now so you can respond to me. Why does God command that we read His Word? What are we talking about? I'm going to give you a hint. What are we talking about here? Changing the heart, right? Let me show you, because you got to understand that the Word of God goes straight to the heart. It's aimed, it's targeted at the heart. Look at this in Psalms 119, verse 11. It says, "Thy Word have I hid where? In my heart, that I might not sin against you." What the Word of God does is you read the Word of God, as you hear the Word of God, as you study the Word of God, it goes straight to the heart. And what it does is like putting that heart on a lathe, and you begin to form it. You begin to take the tools and begin to caliper and measure. The Word of God is what we measure ourselves by, and it's got the tools and stuff that really will take care of our heart as it's turned on this lathe. And it begins a washing or a flushing process. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26 says this, as Jesus talks here about the church, he says that he might sanctify and cleanse it, the church, with the washing of what? Of the water, what? By the Word. See, the Word of God is like a flushing, as you would flush your body out with pure water, and it would go through there, and it would cleanse and purify your body. This is what the Word of God will do in your heart. Let me say this. If your mouth's not changing, if your words are not changing, and you're still speaking mean and ugly things to people, you're not reading the Word. At least you're not reading the Word enough. Now, you might tell me you are, but hey, I can squeeze you, and I can find out what's really in there. If you're still having problems with profanity, you're still having problems with things, saying things and mean things to people, you're not reading the Word enough. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner," look, "of the thoughts and the intents of what? Of the heart." Folks, your heart's not going to change if you're not reading the Word. If you're not studying the Word, if you don't spend some time in the Word of God, your life will never change, because your heart will never change and your tongue never changes. And the power of life and death is where? In the tongue. Ask you another question. Why do we praise God? Have you getting a hint there? Change your heart. Praise God. Father, I thank you for the blood. I thank you, Lord, for the work of Jesus Christ. I thank you for saving me. I thank you for my salvation. I thank you for all that you do for me. I just praise you. I just love you. Listen, you can get out of the car yelling and screaming and cussing at your spouse, having the kids, or the kids can be fussing at you. You can have this tremendous thing. Come in here and have the worst argument you ever had with a person right here. But when praise and worship starts, if you'll lift your hands and praise God, you will feel that leave you. You will physically feel it go. It will. You cannot praise God and be angry with people. You cannot praise God and have mean, vicious thoughts. It's impossible. It comes like a stain. It's the stain that I was using a while ago. It's the blood of Jesus Christ as it comes upon us and it washes us from our sins, but at the same time, it stains us with His blood. Oh, thank you for your salvation. Thank you for the cross and the blood of Jesus. I'm telling you. And if you're still having problems with talking about people and saying mean things, you're not praising God. You can't praise God and have mean thoughts. Another one. Why do we pray? The answer should be obvious now. Change our hearts. The Bible says this. That what prayer does is put things into perspective. The Bible says this in Ephesians 1:18. It says, "I pray also," Paul says, "that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened." What happens when we pray is the eyes of our heart is enlightened. We're able to perspect life. We're able to put it together. We've got it sanded now. We've got it. These things now. What we want to do is we want to put it together. Headboard on, the footboard on, the side rails. And we want to create this thing. You see, prayer puts things into perspective and it connects things where they need to be. Our lives need to be circled around prayer. We need to start, pray first of all, the Bible says. Every morning, every time we get out of bed, maybe you don't get up in the mornings, maybe you work at night. Whatever that it is, that you need to first of all pray. You see, when you first of all pray, life, the day gets into perspective. Ask you another one. Why do we be careful about the friends that we select? It's pretty obvious here. Why? The heart. Your friend will help keep your heart right. The Bible says this about friends in Proverbs 27 and 9. It says, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Your friends keeps your heart where it needs to be. A good friend will come to you and say, your heart's not right. Now, they may not put it in those words, but they'll say, you're wrong about this. You got a wrong attitude about this. You need to get your heart right is what they're trying to say to you. They might not know those words. See, they make you smell good. Like we put on cologne or perfume to go out into the community around people. We want to smell good. We want to present ourselves well. You know, we don't want to stink. Well, what friends do for us is the same thing. They make us smell good. They make our hearts smell good. They make our words smell good. Friends are important. One more question. Why do we come to church? Why do we come to church? Yeah. We get all of that, don't we, in the whole package. We come here. I hope I've had some people on the lathe today. I hope the Lord has taken His Spirit and He's taken that sharp tool and He's beginning to design some things and fix your heart, make your heart prettier and nicer. Cut off some rough stuff, circumcision of the heart. Maybe he's doing some caliper work and making a design here or there, making it just the way He wants it to be. I'm hoping that the Word of God has washed you today and cleansed you. I hope you entered into praise, and I'm hoping that the praise that we've had here today has been able to get you beyond whatever situation you were going through. I'm hoping that prayer, the time of prayer, has made things in more of a perspective that they need to be, and you're able to put life together better. I'm hoping that here you have friends. I don't know of a better place to have them than right here. Some of my best friends are right here. And they'll tell me, Delbert, you know, you might be wrong about this one. You know, and you gotta let them. Now you might blow off at them and shoot a spark of a word into them, but if they're a good friend, they'll understand. But you need the friends because they varnish you. They make you smell good. They make you look good. See, this is what we need to understand about locking our tongue, and that's how our heart changes. And if your heart's not changing, and if you're not talking like you want to talk, then I'm telling you, you're not reading the Word, you're not praising God, you're not praying, and you're not coming to church enough. If you really want your heart to change, that's how. And it will never change unless you do. What do we talk about today? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips. Be careful. Be careful what you say, because it will bring your destruction. Be careful with that. Jesus says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You see, what we got to understand that it's not our vocabulary, it's our hearts. And what God wants to do is change our hearts. When our words go into someone, they release chemicals into them. They poison them. We become vipers. We become poisonous snakes, putting poison into people. Who have you done that to? To whom have you done that? Don't end with preposition. To whom have you done that? You see, it's a serious issue. It's been happening to you. You do that to people that you would never want. You do that to people, but you would never yourself ever want that done to you. We've got to look at our hearts. There are ways to fix it. The Word of God, praising, praying, attending church, selecting your friends. That's how you'll fix your heart. Would you stand with me? Father, we love you. Lord, I know that this gets us all. There's nobody here that's not guilty. Truly, James' words that said, no man can tame the tongue is true. But Lord, we can adjust our hearts. And so, Father, I pray today that these things have helped us. That we're able not only to see what's happened to us when people have spoken mean, malicious words to us. How they've made us sick, made our blood pressure go up. Even the people that we love the most, we make sick. But also, Lord, that what we say to people hurts them. I ask you to be with us now. Let your heads bow and your eyes closed. So, Delbert, wow. Never thought about it that way. That I am really, really, really going to start working on my heart so that I can fix my mouth. I want to learn how to lock and to unlock. If that's you, would you slip your hand up and just say, hey, buddy. Hey, buddy. Okay. I think that's all of us. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ and He's not your Lord and your Savior, you're going to go through life destroying people and being hurt yourself. But with Him, you can have His blood. With Him, you can have His Word. With Him, you can have His Spirit. You can have the best friends in a church that cares about you, and your heart can change. If you've never received Jesus into your heart, would you raise your hand and just let me pray? I'm not going to make you come up here. I just want to pray for you. Just pray for you right where you are. Anyone here today don't know Jesus? Yeah. Father, thank you. And bless us, Lord. I bless this people with all good things. I bless this people with health and prosperity. I bless this people with good things, head and not the tail, the top and not the bottom. Father, as we go out of here this week, we're going to take into account what we're doing with our tongues. Father, I ask you to bless us now. In Jesus' name I pray.